Blog Talk Radio.
We are live on Fanfare Racing NASCAR Weekend Preview, and this is Thursday night, June the 1st, and it is a full weekend of racing. We have a triple header at Dover International Speedway this weekend with the Camping World Truck Series, the Xfinity Series, and the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series, all racing this weekend at Dover International Speedway. Also racing this weekend is the ARCA Racing Series, and they're racing in Elko Speedway. And then also racing is the Can-Am Pro Series East, racing at Memphis International Speedway this weekend, and that will be their first event at that track. Joining me now is our co-host, Jay M.J. Huseman. Welcome to the show, Jay.
Thanks, Sharon. Happy to be here.
Well, I'm happy to have you here. I think we have a lot to look forward to in talking tonight. I was just talking about how it's a really full weekend with the triple header at Dover and then ARCA Racing Series at Elko and the Can-Am Pro Series at Memphis this weekend. We're going to start in our first half hour talking about the ARCA Racing Series and the Can-Am Pro Series. In our next half hour, we will cover the Camping World Truck Series and the Xfinity Series races. And then in the final half hour, we'll cover the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series at Dover, as well as any, if we have time, I'm hoping we have time, to talk about any of the hot topics leading into this weekend. So a lot going on here, and we might as well get started, Jay. Let's get started with the ARCA Racing Series at Elko Speedway. That is going to be the Shore Lunch 250. They're racing June 3rd at 8 p.m. And it's going to be televised on MAV TV. So if you have MAV TV, you'll be able to watch that race during that time. But if you don't have the MAV TV, then you'll also be able to follow along at arcaracing.com. They have live timing and scoring available there. There's usually a live chat available as well, and you can keep up with everything that's going on at the track. The last race was at Toledo Speedway on May 21st in the ARCA Racing Series when Harrison Burton won that race. And he pretty much dominated. He's it's going to be interesting to see what happens this week, because when I look at the entry list, there's a lot of interesting names on this list.
Yeah, most certainly. I think, again, it's going to come down to the top guys right now. You know, Dalton Sargent's one that I've been watching and talking about. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, he got beat out there by Harrison Burton. So I think he's going to come back with a little bit of a vengeance.
Right. And I don't see Harrison's name on this list this week. So I know he's going to be racing at Dover in the Camping World Truck Series. So that opens the door here, too. Also of note, a lot of you will remember Justin Fontaine, who had a really bad accident at the season opener at Daytona. He's back in the car this weekend, and he's going to be driving the number 33. So it's going to be good to see Justin Fontaine back in the ARCA Racing Series this week.
I did see that he was back in. Another one talked a little bit about last week when we were kind of just mentioning them coming up. Natalie Decker is basically a home track for her. She's run some late models there. She'll be driving the 25 N29 Capital Partners Toyota for Venturini Motorsports. So that'll be one to also keep your eye on. I think could be interesting, that's for sure.
definitely. And you're right, this is kind of a nice opportunity for her to race at a home state track, and gives her a chance to to have a lot of family and friends available to watch that race. And she's been impressive, you know, so far in this series. When you think about, you know, what she's done so far. Now, right now, another driver that I want to keep an eye on is Riley Herbst. He is tied in the series point standings with Brett Holmes. And what's interesting about that is that even though he is tied in those point standings, what's kind of cool is that he's only run four races. The guy that he's tied with has run five races in this event, and that's Brett Holmes. So fewer races, and he's still tied he's right up there with all these guys that have run five races.
And he's running in the 18 NOS energy drink for Joe Gibbs' operation, obviously a top-notch.
Yes.
Equipment. So, and he was named as one of the NASCAR Next drivers. So, definitely somebody you got to keep your eye on.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of interesting to see so many of the ARCA Racing Series guys, the guys who are racing full time in the ARCA Series, that are identified by NASCAR as up and coming drivers. And as you mentioned, Riley Herbst is one of those drivers. Christian Eckes is another one. He's also driving for Bill Venturini. He'll be in the number 15 car this weekend for them. And it'll be fun to see what he does as well. He's done quite well in the late model circuit. And this will be a chance for him now to see what he can do here in the ARCA Racing Series. This weekend in that Bill Venturini car.
And those guys are tough no matter where they go. I'm going to throw in there again, if you've seen my stuff on social media this week, got a hometown racing where I'm at, currently down in Mississippi. Memphis is a couple hours north. And then Elko, that's right where I grew up. So unfortunately, I couldn't take leave and be up there for that one, but I'm going to go to the Memphis race, so. A lot of hometown stuff for me going on this weekend.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Now, Austin Terrio has been the points leader in the ARCA Racing Series, and he still has that points lead. So I know a lot of people will be keeping their eye on what he does this weekend out at Elko as well. What are your memories of Elko Speedway? Have you watched a race there, Jay?
Not recently. I think I told this story. I'm going to be real quick. I met Dale Earnhardt there. It was in a late model race. I must have been 8 and 9. And he was, I don't remember how he did in the race, but, you know, short track racing, go back to the dirt track, you know, local races, go down in the pits afterwards. He was hanging out, got a picture of my cousin with him. He was talking with the fans. And, you know, real open type. He wasn't secluded, you know, or whatever. The funny thing, the thing that I remember most, though, was, I don't know how long it had been, but all of a sudden he said to the crew, "Hey, let's go." Just like that. Wasn't rude about it or anything. Just said, "Hey, let's go." And within 5 minutes, they were gone. I mean, they loaded up the car,
mm-hmm.
packed up, and were out the gate. You know, like I said, he was there talking with the fans, signing autographs, taking pictures. But when he said, "Let's go," they were gone.
Yeah, that's they probably knew it was time to get going and was waiting for the word from him. So that's pretty cool. But let's get back to the ARCA Racing Series and you know, the drivers in this event. Any other drivers that you're keeping your eye on?
The other one that I think is still coming along, had a little bit of a rough start, is Gus Dean. In the 32 Gree Cooling Products Toyota. He's been coming around to here throughout the last couple races. I don't think he gets enough credit for what he does in that car either.
Okay, so definitely keep your eye on Gus Dean this weekend. He's a great driver, and we'll see what he does. Another Cunningham Motorsports driver that's racing this weekend, along with Dalton Sargeant, and we know a lot of people feel like he's one of the favorites coming into this race, is his teammate, Shane Lee, driving again with Cunningham Motorsports. He'll be in the number 22 car this weekend, and you can watch for him there. And Zane Smith in the number 55, another Venturini Motorsports car. We all know how good Venturini is in the ARCA Racing Series, so it'll be fun to see what he's able to do. Have you heard who they're putting in the number 10 yet with Andy Hillenberg?
I do not. The list I have still has it as to be announced, and I hadn't seen or heard anything on that.
Okay, so that's something for fans to keep your eyes out. There is a number 10 car listed under Andy Hillenberg as the team owner, and we'll have to see if they're able to get that seat filled, of course, before the race. Now, just a reminder, that race is June 3rd. That's this Saturday at 8 p.m. Central Time. That would be 9 p.m. Eastern Time. And it will be broadcast on MAV TV. I think it's going to be a pretty good race. I watched the last ARCA race, and it was really fun to watch. The drivers battling with each other, and I was really impressed with what I saw from Harrison Burton coming from the back and making it to the front. Brett Holmes is racing this weekend in the number 23 for Brett Holmes Racing. We'll keep an eye on him. There's also A.J. Fike in the number 27 for Don Fike Racing, and we'll see what he does.
The other one I believe is on the entry list is Chad Finley, who won, I believe it was Nashville, where he picked up a win.
Yes.
He's got one win this year. I think it was at Nashville.
It was.
So he's also one to watch. He's not running every week, but if he's in there on the entry list, he's certainly got to be a contender.
Yeah, I'm looking for him on the entry list. For some reason, I'm missing it. I'm not seeing his name on the entry list here.
I thought I saw his name there. Pull that back up.
Yeah. There's also Robert Bruce and Willie Mullins. They're racing together as a team this weekend. Robert Bruce will be in the number 28 car, and Willie Mullins will be in the number 34 car. So there's a story about that team on ARCARacing.com, and I would encourage everybody to head on over there and take a look at that. It's a pretty interesting story. And then for Mason Mitchell Motorsports in the number 78 car this weekend, Mason Mitchell, a former ARCA Racing Series champion, used to race the number 78, and now he's the guy, he's the team owner for Cole Anderson, who will be behind the wheel of the number 78 this weekend.
And that's another hometown guy there from Northfield, Minnesota. And you were right. I had the wrong list pulled up with the entry list. I'm sorry. I was looking at Toledo's entry list.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, he's from Northfield, Minnesota. So, yeah, that's going to be a big race for him and family and friends that are supporting him as well. Okay, I think we've covered just about everybody here. So who, there's also, there are a few that we have not talked about yet. Khan Nikolopoulos in the zero car, Eric Caudill in the number two car, and Earnhardt is racing again this weekend, Bobby Dale Earnhardt in the number three car, appropriate number for him, and Mark Munier in the 06 car will be racing along with Thomas Prater in the number nine car. So who's your favorite to win this race? I know you mentioned Dalton Sargeant.
I think Austin Terrio, I mean, he's the point leader and he's been running consistently, also only has the one win. I think he picks up his second win.
Okay, I think that's a good pick. But if you're not going to say Dalton Sargeant, then I'm going to say him. I'm going to go with Dalton Sargeant in the number 77 car for Cunningham Motorsports. Dalton's been really strong this season. He's doing really well in the point standings. And I think he's good. He's second in the series point standings, and I think he's going to close the gap there in the ARCA Racing Series this weekend with hopefully a victory in the Shore Lunch 250.
He's certainly been there every week, so that's definitely one you could put some money on.
Yep, but I think they're going to have to get through those Venturini cars this weekend as well. So definitely keep – this is a race to watch and one that I think fans will enjoy. So definitely tune in there to MAP TV or to the ArcaRacing.com website to keep up with what's happening in that event. It's time for us to go ahead and move on now to the K&N Pro Series. I'm really excited about this race. It's the first time the K&N Pro Series is racing at Memphis Speedway this weekend. And Harrison Burton is the points leader coming into this event. It's going to be fun to see what he does at this track. A lot to look forward to in the K&N Pro Series. That race is taking place also on Saturday, June the 3rd. The time is 5:05 p.m. Central Time. That's 6:05 Eastern Time. And I want you to set your DVRs now for this race. It'll be on NBCSN Thursday, June the 8th at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. And it is a quarter-mile asphalt trioval that these guys are going to be racing on this weekend. I think there's quite a few drivers here that's going to suit their driving style. You've got Harrison Burton in first place. You've got Todd Gilliland in second. two big drivers here racing this weekend, and I'm sure both are favorites to perhaps get the win at Memphis in their inaugural event.
Well, and the hottest driver there in the K&N Pro Series East has been Harrison Burton, now atop the standings heading into this inaugural visit to Memphis International Raceway. And again, I talked about this. I used to go when they hosted the Xfinity and Truck Series races, another beautiful, beautiful facility. I was sad to see that they lost their top series races there. So I'm happy to see the Pro Series in there.
Well, yes, I am happy to see them there as well. Both the Xfinity and the Camping World Truck Series has raced there before. And one thing that everybody needs to be aware of as well is both Harrison Burton, the points leader, and the second-place driver Todd Gilliland are not only racing at Memphis on Saturday, Friday night, they're racing in the Camping World Truck Series. So they're doing a little bit of double duty here this weekend, and it'll be interesting to see how they handle that.
Look at Gillen. I mean, both of them being 17th birthday, he's already leading in the West K&N Pro Series West standings with 4 wins in 6 races, trying to defend that title as he was the 2016 champion. And now on the East side, he's up to 2nd in points, only behind Harrison Burton, and he's posted podium finishes in his last three of his last 4 starts. He is looking for his first win on the East side, and it certainly could come at Memphis.
It certainly could, and it'll be interesting to see what does happen. Now, Ruben Garcia Jr. is 3rd in the series point standings, and he'll be racing this weekend as well. He'll be in the number 6. Toyota for Rev Racing. He finished a career best 2nd at Bristol, which is a similar type of a track. He surged to 3rd in the overall point standings with top 6 finishes in the last 3 races. He has 2 top 5s. He has 4 top 10s in 5 races this season. He was the 2015 Mexico Series champion. And in that series, he had 4 wins, 15 top fives, and 41 top tens in 61 career starts. He finished 5th in his most recent start, which was at South Boston Speedway. So I think once he gets going in this series, I think we're going to see a lot of really great things from Ruben Garcia. I think he's a car to watch this weekend.
Absolutely. He's definitely shown that improvement each and every week, where he's coming out and getting better and better. Another one would be considered a home track for him, coming out of Meridian, Mississippi, is the top rookie, Chase Purdy, at 18,
yes,
who's turning his NASCAR Wheel and All-American Series success into the next level. Finished the career best in the first of the two 100s that were at South Boston Speedway. If you remember, that was a doubleheader.
Mm-hmm.
Fourth in the overall standings. He's got
definitely
two top tens, one top five.
In five starts this season. So he's also had two consecutive qualifying results on the outside of the front row. And we'll see what he does here at Memphis with that as well. Chase Cabre, another driver that was just announced as part of the NASCAR Next program, and he'll be racing this weekend in the number four car from Rev Racing. He's seventh in the overall point standings. He has one top five and two top tens. His career best finish of fourth in the second of the two twin races at South Boston was his most recent start. He won the pole for both legs of the those twin races at South Boston Speedway. And those were his first two career series poles. He has started inside the top 10 in four of five races this season. So I think, again, he's going to be another driver to keep your eye on this weekend.
And that's just amazing. And once he learns how to hold on to that car and they can keep up with it and keep it solid throughout the race, he's going to be right there,
mm-hmm,
as one of those top runners week in and week out.
I think so.
Another
okay,
model of consistency. Oh, as I say, Hunter Blaze is another rookie. Last year is showing that growth we were talking about. At 19 from Bremen, Kentucky, he's got top 10 finishes in four of his five starts this season and is currently fifth in the point standings.
Yes, Hunter Bays is another driver that I think could do really well here. Again, he finished fourth at Bristol, Tennessee. So it's another asphalt. Well, Bristol it'll be interesting to see what happens. That was a good finish at Bristol. I think he has a chance of getting a really good finish here. His best finish, though, and his first top five since Iowa Speedway last season, it was at Bristol. So we'll see what he does here at the quarter-mile track at Memphis. Another driver, Ronnie Bassett Jr., will be in the number 04, and he earned his first career win in the season opener at New Smyrna Speedway earlier this year. He's sixth in the series point standings with two top fives and two top tens in these first five races. So I know he's working really hard. He was holding that series point standings before Harrison Burton took the lead. So I know he wants to rebound and get back up in that series point standings. Right now, Ronnie Bassett Jr., as I mentioned earlier, is sixth in the point standings. So he wants to kind of reverse that and get back up there at the top. And I'm certain he's capable of doing that.
Well, and then you also have Dylan Bassett. He's got two top tens out of his five starts with a best of fourth so far this year. He's down as far as ninth in the points, but he's another one that I think once they get in a groove could easily turn that into a top five on a regular basis.
Yep. As we look at the entry list here, who do you think is the driver that is going to come away with the win this weekend?
Who do I think is going to, or who do I want to see?
Well, what's your prediction?
I think it's going to come down between Harrison Burton and Todd Gilliland. You know, they're the top two right now, and they've been right there. You can't separate them by a piece of paper, but I'm hoping Purdy gets his nose in there and at least is right there with them.
Yeah, I think Chase Purdy is a good pick here because, again, I think that he's been up there contending in a lot of these races. He's one of those drivers, again, that was picked as one of the NASCAR Next drivers in this newest class. And I think he's going to continue to be a Chase a contender in this series. So really, those are probably the top three drivers to keep your eye on this weekend. But anything and everything can happen, as we know, and it'll be fun to see this race. Again, this race is on Saturday night, and it's available via Race Central at NASCAR Home Tracks website. It's the hometracks.nascar.com website, Race Central. They give you all the updates of what's happening at the racetrack throughout the race so that you know right away what's going on. Now, there are some practice sessions earlier in the day. Those start taking place about 1:05 p.m. With qualifying at 3:05 p.m. and driver introductions start at 4:50 with the race expected. The Memphis 125 expected to start at 5:05 p.m. on Saturday, the 3rd of June. So, again, we've got a lot to look forward to here, and I can't wait to see what happens in this Memphis 125. And it's a big deal to be the winner in the inaugural race. And all of these drivers have a chance to be that person this weekend.
Absolutely. I mean, it is a wide open thing. Like you said, you never know. You know, last week for the West Series, it took Todd Gillen getting in a wreck, and he came back to finish sixth. So, I mean, that's how good these guys are. To beat somebody, they got to wreck and then hope they don't catch back up.
Yeah, I thought the racing was pretty good. I don't think there was anything intentional in any of those incidents that took place last week a couple weeks ago at Toledo. I thought it was good, clean racing throughout that event.
Absolutely. It's just short track racing, and that's, you know, what fans come to see.
Absolutely. And I expect more of the same this weekend out there at Memphis. So we're now, I'm really excited that Dover, this is one of the triple headers that we have this year at Dover International Speedway with all three of NASCAR's top series racing at that track this weekend, starting with Friday night in the Camping World Truck Series race. It was called the Bar Harbor 200 presented by Sea Watch International. They're racing Friday, June 2nd, and Fox Sports 1 will have the television coverage along with radio coverage on MRN and SiriusXM NASCAR Radio starting at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. The race they're expecting to start sometime around 5:30. Now, this race, it's a one-mile track, so 200 miles will be 200 laps, with stage one ending on lap 45, stage two ending on lap 90. The longest stage, of course, is going to be that last stage that will end on the last lap of the race, lap 200. So those are the details you need to know about the Bar Harbor 200 at Dover International Speedway for the Camping World Truck Series. Now let's take a look at what's going to happen. We mentioned earlier that Todd Gilliland is making his debut at the track this weekend. Again, he's a NASCAR Next driver in this newest class. He'll be driving the number 46 for Kyle Busch Motorsports. And as a lot of us know, he is a third-generation NASCAR driver. His father is David Gilliland, and his grandfather is Butch Gilliland. And those folks out on the West Coast are very familiar with Butch Gilliland. He has driven in the Cup Series, as has of course David Gilliland. So it'll be interesting to see what he's able to do, what Todd is able to do this weekend out at Dover. He's the 2016 K&N Pro Series West champion. He had 6 wins in that series last year. And this year, he has won four races, he has 5 poles, and he has yet to finish outside of the top 6 in that series. So this will not be his last race for Kyle Busch Motorsports. He is going to make 3 more Camping World Truck Series starts for that organization. So I would imagine if he does really well, and as I look at the practice sessions, I was looking at that earlier, Jay, and I'll tell you what, he's doing pretty well in the practice sessions. In the first practice in the Camping World Truck Series, let me get that back up here. The first practice, Todd Gilliland finished right up there in the top 10. He was 9th in that first practice, and I expect him to have a good showing this weekend in the Truck Series.
And again, with doing this show, you know, we've talked about this, focusing on some of these younger series or lower series, getting to know these younger drivers before they get to that level. And we've talked about that he's going to be in one of the top 3 premier series sooner than later. And he's showing why. I mean, he's got the talent.
he's definitely a talented guy and really dominating in that West series, 2nd place in the East series. And that's not an easy thing to do, to be racing both of those series. So it will be fun to see what he does on Friday night here. Now, some other drivers in the Camping World Truck Series. We mentioned Todd Gilliland. There's also Harrison Burton, also driving in the Kyle Busch Motorsports car, is driving the number 51 for them this weekend. And this is going to be a 2nd Truck Series race this season. And he'll run 4 more Truck Series races for KBM as well. So watch for Harrison Burton in that number 51 KBM car this weekend.
Another one that we talk so much about, and we've talked about him, this will be his 3rd different series, talking about him running for the K&N Pro Series, winning in the ARCA Series. You know, he's in a Kyle Busch truck. There is no reason he couldn't possibly win in the Truck Series.
And that is?
I mean, being in that equipment, to see him, you know, with his debut in ARCA, he wins. You know, he's running for the series title in the K&N Pro Series.
About
but
Harrison.
To be able to, yes, Harrison Burton. Stepping into, you know, those different styles and being able to run immediately up front like that.
Yes, it really makes it impressive. And like I say, he was impressive in that race at Toledo Speedway. And I think he's going to continue to impress us as we watch him race in the Truck Series. There's 8 rookies that are making their debut at Dover this weekend. And that's always kind of interesting when you get that many rookies that are racing in the series and what they're doing, having never raced at this track before. Those 8 rookies include Chase Briscoe, Wendell Chaveau, Austin Cindric, Grant Infinger, Stuart Friesen, Noah Gregson, which, by the way, Noah Gregson has led both practices so far in the Camping World Truck Series. Justin Haley and Kaz Grawa. I think that's pretty impressive for a rookie to lead both of those practice sessions.
Well, without a doubt. And he started out his rookie season strong, only sits a couple spots away from the playoff spot. The Camping World Truck Series takes the top 8. He's finished in the top 15 in 3 of his last 4 races, and is obviously looking to do the same at Dover.
Yeah, he's one of those bubble drivers that are on the outside looking in right now. As you know, there's only 8 drivers from the Camping World Truck Series that will be in the playoffs. And Noah Gregson is currently 13th, and he wants to get himself up in that top 8 for sure. And he's off to a great start this weekend already at Dover International Speedway, in spite of the fact that he's a rookie there. Christopher Bell is another driver I think you should keep your eye on this weekend. Bell made his career debut in the Xfinity Series last weekend at Charlotte Motor Speedway. He started 7th in the number 18 Joe Gibbs Racing car, and he finished 4th in his debut race in the Xfinity Series. So that was pretty impressive. He's going to be back behind the wheel of his number 4 Kyle Busch Motorsports car this weekend, and it'll be fun to see what he does.
And if you missed that race, you missed a heck of a show. I don't remember how many laps it was that he had a problem and spun out, and again maintained his composure and worked his way back up to 4th and was the top finishing non-cup driver in that race.
Yeah, in his debut. Just amazing. But let's get back to the bubble drivers here, because there's about 4 other bubble drivers here that really want to work their way into that top 8.
Okay, we talked about Noah Gregson currently sitting 13th in points at 111. Kaz Grala currently holds that A spot at 139, so there's a little bit of a gap, but certainly within reach. The next one that you would look at in 12th would be Regan Smith, who's driving part-time in the Camping World Truck Series for RBR Enterprises, has raced in all 5 Camping World Truck season races so far this season, and prior to Charlotte had only finished 12th or better in 4 consecutive races. So he's looking to move up even more now.
Absolutely. John Hunter Nemechek, a lot of people thought he'd be a championship contender this season. He has 2 stout races this season, finishing 4th at Daytona and 3rd at Kansas. In his other 3 finishes, though, it's been less than he expected. He had a 29th finish at Atlanta, 28th at Martinsville, and 22nd at Charlotte. If he can pull it all together this weekend, he could really help himself move closer to that top 8 and those people who will be contending in the playoff for the Camping World Truck Series.
You know, and he was a contender last year. You would think, you know, with another year under his belt, you know, not sure what they're missing this year. But, yeah, I've been waiting to see him get up there and run like he was last year, because he certainly was a contender last year.
Yeah, he was 2nd in the final point standings.
Yeah. Sitting 10th in points, unfortunately, is a sad story, and I was looking to see, because I don't believe, and I hadn't heard anything, is Brett Moffitt, who is one of the Red Horse Racing drivers, and that team has shut down. He had yet to finish outside the top 22, averaging a 12.8 finish through the 5 races, but I do not see his name on the list here.
It's going to be tough for him to move up into that top 8 with his team shutting down. So you're right, it's a very sad story there.
And I really
so
expected Timothy Peters to get picked up somewhere. Yeah, I really expected Timothy Peters to pick up another ride, but I haven't heard anything from that side either yet.
Yeah, so that could be a developing story. We don't know what's going on there yet, but it could be a developing story over these next several races as to whether or not those 2 drivers, Brett Moffitt and Timothy Peters, can get another ride with another team to help them move up in the series point standings. Now, Ryan Truex. Truex is having a playoff-caliber season. He improved his finishing position in every race this season in the Camping World Truck Series. He's got three consecutive top tens, I think he's probably the most likely of all of these drivers to get himself up into that top eight. Probably the fastest of any of the drivers that we mentioned here.
He certainly has been strong week in and week out, and being in that ninth spot, as I mentioned, Timothy Peters is currently sitting in sixth at 170 points, Truex at 139. Again, Timothy Peters isn't in a truck this weekend, so he should move up, and that's one out of those top eight that's going to bump down, which means Truex is the next one to bump up, and the one right behind him is Brett Moffitt. So I think you'll see Truex move into that top eight this weekend.
Yeah, it's possible. And those are the bubble drivers on the outside looking in right now. Those drivers are drivers to watch this weekend to see if they can continue to advance themselves closer to that top eight. Now, another driver who's looking to kind of turn his season around and kind of jumpstart everything, not that he hasn't been doing poorly, he's been doing great, but he wants to go back-to-back at Dover, and that's Matt Crafton. He is the defending driver winning there last season, and actually last year, this was his first win of the season, was at Dover. So he'd like to do that again this year. He's winless through the first five races this season, he's broken a lot of records at Dover International Speedway, including he's got 16 races that he's raced there, five top fives, 10 top tens, and lead lap finishes. He's tied with David Starr with 11 laps completed at Dover International Speedway, 2,775. That experience is going to give him an advantage, I think, here at Dover.
And it is hard to believe that, as you said, he doesn't have a win yet this year.
Yeah, it's hard to even fathom that because he is a champion in the Camping World Truck Series.
Multi-time. Another
mm-hmm.
one, points leader, Johnny Sauter, on his way to the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series Championship last season, the race here at Dover is what changed everything for him. He had won at Daytona, but then failed to score a top 15 over his next three races at Atlanta 28th, Martinsville 32nd, and Kansas 16th. But starting 15th in the spring here at Dover, Sauter finished fourth and then went on to finish in the top 13 or better every race for the remainder of the season to capture that 2016 title. So this is where he turned the tide and really put a whooping on him to take that title.
Yep.
In eight career starts at Dover, Johnny has three top fives and five top tens, including four consecutive top tens. And he is obviously in another championship-like season, leading the points by 15 over Christopher Bell.
Absolutely. So I think there's a lot to look forward to here with both of those veterans especially at a track like Dover. Let's talk about the track itself. Dover International Speedway, some quick facts heading into this weekend's Bar Harbor 200. They have had 17 races, the Camping World Truck Series, at Dover. There have been 13 different pole winners, with the youngest pole winner being Darrell Wallace Jr. He did that in 2013. He was just 19 years, 7 months, and 23 days. The oldest pole winner just recently is in one of the five that will be inducted into NASCAR's Hall of Fame for this year is Ron Hornaday Jr. He, in May of 2009, was 50 years, 11 months, and 10 days. There have been 14 different race winners at the track. The youngest winner was Tyler Reddick. In May of 2015, he was 19 years, 4 months, 18 days. The oldest winner, Ron Hornaday Jr., in June of 2007, at 48 years, 11 months, and 12 days. Now, this is kind of interesting. All these races at Dover International Speedway, and only three races have been won from the pole. So just because a person gets a pole doesn't necessarily mean they're going to win from the pole. The last driver who won from the pole or the first starting position was Kyle Busch in May of 2014. And we all know the kind of driver that Kyle Busch is. He's been really impressive in this Camping World Truck Series. So just some stats to kind of have at the in your mind as we head into the race this weekend. Again, that race is coming up this Friday night, June the 2nd. Fox Sports 1 will have radio or television coverage. MRN and Sirius XM, of course, will have the radio coverage starting at 5. Expect the green flag sometime around 5:30. I thought it was really cool to see Ron Hornaday Jr. Voted into NASCAR's Hall of Fame this season.
It was well deserving too. I mean, with what he did in the Truck Series, I know he did some Xfinity racing as well, but he was known for, you know, him and Mike Skinner as building the Truck Series to what it is today.
Absolutely, and I agree with you. Very well deserved. For Ron Hornaday to be a NASCAR Hall of Fame inductee for this year. And that will actually take place in 2018. They usually do that, I think, at the end of January. So it'll be great to see Ron Hornaday Jr. there. Who's your favorite to win in this Camping World Truck Series?
To win it, I am going to go with Christopher Bell.
Oh, nice pick. Nice pick. Christopher Bell winning the Camping World Truck Series this weekend. Now, I will say there are three drivers that coming in from the Xfinity Series that will be racing this weekend, too. That's Brandon Jones, Ross Chastain, and J.J. Yaley are all coming over from the Xfinity Series. They'll be doing double duty this weekend at Dover, and we'll be racing as well in the Camping World Truck Series.
Actually, Sharon,
go ahead.
Real quick, I thought there were three of them, and I know I can only find two of them. Ross Chastain is actually running in all three series, and I believe J.J.
Mm-hmm.
Yaley is as well. I cannot find who the third one was, because I thought there were
Brandon
three of them
Jones.
That were doing the he is running on all three.
Yes. Brandon
okay.
Jones is running the Camping World Truck Series as well as the Xfinity Series this weekend. I don't know if Brandon is racing in the Cup Series or not.
Yes,
I
thought there were three that were running in the Cup Series as well. And I know Ross Chastain was one of them and J.J.
Yaley.
It
might be a different three, but yeah, okay. Okay, well, we'll definitely keep our eye on that and see if we can confirm that. I'll pull up the entry list here in a little bit. That's really cool to see all three of them. My pick is going to be Matt Crafton. I think his experience at this track is going to be in his favor, and I look for Matt Crafton to get another win this weekend at Dover.
And the experience
okay.
definitely plays a factor at Dover, so that's a very good pick.
Okay. Now, we're a little behind here, only by about 3 minutes, but we're going to get into the NASCAR Xfinity Series. We may run past that 9:30 time frame, which will cut into our Monster Energy time as well. So that might cut out our topic conversation, but we'll try to hit at least one hot topic before we close out the show tonight. Now, the One Main Financial 200 will be at Dover International Speedway on Saturday, June the 3rd. Television coverage again on Fox Sports 1 starting at 12:30 p.m. along with MRN and Sirius XM. radio coverage at that time. The race should start sometime around 1 o'clock Eastern time. Again, 200 miles, 200 laps. Stage 1, however, is a little bit longer, 60 laps it'll end. Stage 2 ends on lap 120 with the final stage on lap 200. So this Xfinity, I've been really impressed with the Xfinity Series races this season. I think that the stage racing has really improved what we're seeing in that Xfinity Series. And actually, I think another thing that's going to make this race fun is this is the last Dash for Cash race for those drivers that are competing for the Dash for Cash $100,000 check that comes along with being that driver. I'm going to go over just to remind everybody what some of the Dash for Cash eligibility is. The top two finishing Xfinity Series drivers that are declaring points in that series in each of the two stages will make up the four-driver Dash for Cash field for the final stage. So once stage one is complete, the two drivers who lock into the main field won't have their position counted against the other Dash for Cash eligible drivers following stage two to ensure that there's four different drivers in that field. The field then will begin the race stage one followed by stage two and then the final stage at Dover International Speedway. The highest finisher in the final stage among the four Dash for Cash drivers will win the $100,000 bonus. Plus, don't forget that if a driver earns two Dash for Cash bonus wins over the over these four Dash for Cash races, that qualifies them for the Xfinity Series playoffs. The driver that's in the position to be able to do that this weekend at Dover is Daniel Hemric. So we definitely want to keep our eye on what if Daniel Hemric is going to be able to punch his ticket into the playoffs this weekend with a Dash for Cash win.
And he certainly has the capability with how he's shown he's been racing in the last couple weeks. And definitely be interesting to watch. And there will be, as you mentioned, the NASCAR Monster Energy Cup Series drivers aren't a factor in that, but there will be six of them racing on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Austin and Ty Dillon, Daniel Suarez, Eric Jones, Ryan Blaney, and Kyle Larson. So no matter where they finish, it's like they're not really there because this is for the Xfinity Series only.
Right. It's only for those guys that are declaring points in that series. And those would be some of the drivers that we already mentioned. And, of course, these Cup guys, they're not going to be a factor in that. Now, two drivers, we mentioned Ross Chastain earlier. He's also racing not just the Camping World Truck Series, but he's racing in the Monster Energy Cup race as well. And his crew chief, his crew chief is Mark Hillman. He'll be driving the number 15 premium motorsports car. And then the other driver that's going to be racing from the Xfinity Series that's going to be racing in the Cup Series this weekend is Ryan Sieg. He's going to be racing the number 83 for BK Racing with his crew chief, Randy Cox. So, again, a couple of drivers to keep your eye on. Chastain's doing triple duty. Ryan Sieg is doing double duty between the Xfinity Series and the Monster Energy Cup Series.
I was so happy to see that that announcement for Ryan Sieg. You know, running his own team
mm-hmm.
in the Xfinity, trying to compete with the with these Cup-supported teams that run the Xfinity Series, and he's doing it with his own team. Coming so close to the playoffs and running right there with him. So I was really happy to see that for him.
Yeah, me too. And I'm really happy to see Ross Chastain get a chance in all three of these series as well. Ross Chastain has run a few Camping World Truck Series races already this season, but this will be his Monster Energy Cup Series debut. So really excited for Ross Chastain as well.
And the Xfinity Series teams are, even though it's not their title sponsor, they're helping support the Autism Delaware with decals this weekend. 23 drivers from the Xfinity Series will be showing their support for the Autism Delaware's mission this weekend with a special decal on their cars. And I think that's a very worthy cause. Autism Delaware is a leader in the first state on autism awareness since founding in 1998, working to raise funds and awareness during the June 2nd through 4th NASCAR weekend. This is the 11th consecutive year that Dover Spring Events has had that tie-in with the cause of autism awareness.
Yeah, it's a great cause. And I'm really happy to see them doing that again this season. And I'm sure we'll see them continue that for a long time to come. And it's a very, very good cause. Now, how about it's so interesting because when I was watching the Xfinity Series race last week at Charlotte Motor Speedway, the person I was watching the race with, my brother, I mentioned to him, I think Ryan Blaney is going to get a win sooner rather than later. We're going to see him in victory lane. And I said that during the race, and sure enough, he ended up winning that race. So that was a pretty exciting race for Ryan Blaney. And I think the same thing's going to happen in the Cup Series. I think we're going to see Ryan Blaney get a win there in one of his cup races as well. He's just been a really, really strong contender with Team Penske. He's got the wind at his back, so to say. He's a 23-year-old superstar, getting his very first win of the season at Charlotte Motor Speedway, and now he's going to go for two in a row here at Dover this weekend. He'll be racing the number 22 with Greg Irwin as his crew chief. He's made five series starts this season with the win at Charlotte. He also has five top fives and an average finish. Get this, 2.4 is his average finish. Blaney's made four starts at Dover, posting one pole, two top fives, and an average finish of 13.8. Team Penske has two series wins at Dover, both by Joey Logano when he swept the weekend in 2013. He swept the 2013 season by winning both Xfinity Series races that year. So I look for Ryan Blaney to have another strong finish this weekend. If he doesn't win, he's going to be up there contending for sure.
Without a doubt. And as you mentioned, even on the Cup side, the driving topic on one of the radio shows today was a driver to win the Cup, whether it would be another winner, duplicate winner from this year, or somebody that hasn't won yet this year. And the major response was one that hadn't won this year. And Blaney's name came up more than Kevin Harvick, Kyle Busch, or even Matt Kenseth.
Yeah, I think he's right on the cusp. He's about to have a breakthrough, I think.
Now, as we mentioned, Eric Jones will be running in the Xfinity Series. He's looking to return to defend his win from last year. He'll be piloting the number 20 Joe Gibbs Toyota Camry with crew chief Chris Gabehart. Is not only looking to defend his win from last season and add to his win total with two at Bristol and Texas this season, but also extend Joe Gibbs Racing win streak at Dover to three consecutive. Eric Jones, the spring race winner last year, and Daniel Suarez, the fall race winner. Jones has made three starts at Dover, posting one pole, one win, two top tens, and an average finish of 8.667. Joe Gibbs leads the series in wins at Dover International Speedway with 11 victories among five different drivers. As I mentioned, Daniel Suarez, Eric Jones, Kyle Busch, 2014 swept, 2010 swept, and the fall of 2008. And Joey Logano in 2012 swept, and Denny Hamlin in the spring of 2008 and the fall of 2007. So that wasn't a sweep, but it was still back-to-back from the fall of 2007 to the spring of 2008.
Right, right. So I expect Erik Jones to run very strongly this weekend as well. That track seems to suit him, as stated, you know, with his results by racing there. Now, we mentioned Hemric earlier as being a dash-for-cash driver who could punch his ticket into the playoffs in this series by winning that dash-for-cash bonus by being the highest-finishing Xfinity Series driver this weekend. He's now fourth in the Sunoco Rookie of the Year standings, and he's leapfrogged past Darrell Wallace Jr. in those standings. And with his results from Charlotte last weekend, he's just 22 points back from third place, and he's looking to give William Byron some competition and continue his move up in that Sunoco Rookie of the Year standings. He's been climbing those point standings since the season opener at Daytona. He finished 34th. Because of an accident he was involved in. He was 26th in the series points after that race. Since then, Hemric has moved up 22 spots. In 10 starts this season, Hemric has posted 2 top fives, 7 top 15 finishes, and his average finish this season is 16.2. That's certainly affected by that 31st place finish at Daytona. And keep in mind, this will be Hemric's debut at Dover International Speedway this weekend. So it's not an easy track for rookies, but I will tell you, he's got a lot to race for, with not only to continue his move up in those point standings, as we've documented already, but for that dash for cash bonus of $100,000 and to punch his ticket into the playoffs.
And he's one of those we talk about, you know, improving every week. You know, now with a best finish of fourth, you know, that gets a little bit harder because he's only got 3 more positions he can move up. But as a young kid, that's definitely something they look at when they're watching these drivers. And with that, the youth movement, the average age of winning drivers this season so far is 25 years old. The young drivers are proving they belong in the highest ranks in NASCAR. And in the NASCAR Xfinity Series, through 10 races, the average age of the winning 8 drivers so far has been 25.6. The youngest being Joe Gibbs, Erik Jones, at the age of 20. And he has 2 wins this season, as I mentioned, Texas and Bristol. The oldest winner this season in the Xfinity Series has been Eric Almirola at the age of 33 when he won at Talladega. The 5 drivers under the age of 30 that have won have been Erik Jones, Ryan Reed at 23, Ryan Blaney last week at Charlotte at 23, Kyle Larson at 24 out in California, and Joey Logano at age 26. The youngest in history at Dover International Speedway is Casey Atwood, the 1999 fall race winner at the age of 19 years and 1 month.
Right, he was the youngest winner in series history. So a lot of people wondered what happened to Casey Atwood because he started out so well in NASCAR, but that funding is really a big deal. Very talented driver. Would love to see him come back and race in NASCAR's top 3 at some point. Now, the points are pretty tight at the top of the series point standings. Justin Allgaier is closing in on Elliott Sadler, Elliott Sadler leads the points. Justin Allgaier is now 29 markers down he went from 29 points down to just 6 points down as we now head into Dover International Speedway. So that's going to be a couple of drivers to keep your eye on this weekend, too. They're battling for that points lead, and Allgaier wants to capitalize on it this weekend. Last weekend, he finished 12th after Sadler spun off turn four late in the race, ending his day early and putting him back in the 35th finishing position. So that was an opportunity for Allgaier to really close that gap. Now with Sadler in striking distance, Allgaier hopes to take over the points lead when Dover is said and done. It's a track where he's outperformed Sadler in the past, so that's important for everybody to know that, because Sadler has made 24 starts at Dover, posting three top tens with an average finish of 21.8. But take a look at what Allgaier has done. He's made 12 series starts at Dover, posting three top fives, six top tens, and his average finish is considerably better at 13.8. So definitely keep your eye on what happens between Justin Allgaier and Elliott Sadler this weekend as well. Justin Allgaier has already punched his ticket into the playoffs for the Xfinity Series. And so I know the Dash for Cash is a big deal for these guys as well. Nobody's going to turn down an opportunity to win that $100,000 bonus this weekend.
Let me tell you what, if I'd have been putting money on that, I'd have had those stats reversed. I wouldn't have believed that Sadler was the one with the worst average there.
Yeah, it is kind of surprising. But it is a very tight points battle when you consider only 6 points. And I'm sure Sadler is very aware of those statistics, and they're doing everything they can to not allow Allgaier to close up that gap. They want to keep that point standings if they can. So I think all of that's going to produce some really great racing for us at Dover this weekend in this Xfinity Series. So who's your pick to win the race this weekend?
Well, based off the stats you just gave me, I think I'm going to go with Justin Allgaier.
Okay. I think Justin Allgaier is a great pick for this weekend. But I don't know. I'm thinking Joe Gibbs Racing is also great at Dover International Speedway. And with Eric Jones having a win already there at that track, I'm a little torn between Eric Jones and Ryan Blaney. I think both of those drivers have a chance to win this weekend. But I think I'm going to, as much as I'd like to pick Ryan Blaney, I think I'm going to go with Eric Jones this weekend to win at Dover.
Well, and you can't go wrong with that with the history that we talked about Joe Gibbs having.
Absolutely. Okay, we're now 7 minutes behind on our schedule here, so we're going to get right into the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series. The AAA 400 Drive for Autism will be taking place this Sunday, June the 4th, at Dover, and Fox Sports 1 has all three of these races covered. On Sunday, they start at 12:30 p.m. Eastern Time, with the race expected to start at 1 p.m. MRN and SiriusXM on the radio. They'll be racing double time of the other two series, 400 miles over 400 laps. Stage 1 is ending on lap 120, stage 2 on lap 240, and the final stage will end on lap 400. So just some quick facts for you to be aware of heading into that race this weekend. How great was it to see Austin Dillon take the win last weekend in the Cup Series at one of the premier races of the year, what is often referred to as a crown jewel of the NASCAR circuit at Charlotte Motor Speedway in the Coca-Cola 600.
You know, it amazes me watching the social media stuff, how many people were complaining and upset about that. This kid just won his first Cup race, and I don't care if it was on fuel mileage, you know, you got to be there. And he definitely had a car and was running there. They made the decision, and he made it work. I was happy to see him. not just for the history of the three necessarily, but for Austin Dillon and Richard Childress Racing. You know, appreciate that
mm-hmm.
win and their success.
Yeah, and when you think about all the races, all of the milestones that Richard Childress has seen for his organization, with Dale Earnhardt winning Daytona for the first time, that was a pretty momentous race. He's saying that this win, it takes the top spot of all the wins he's ever experienced. Of course, this is his grandchild that he's watching, bringing that number three back into victory lane. And that number three is really a Richard Childress Racing number, and he wanted a Richard Childress Racing family member to race that car. And to have his grandson do that is pretty momentous. So this is a really big deal and something truly to be celebrated. It marked the first time the number three Chevy has reached victory lane since Dale Earnhardt did it at Talladega October 15th in 2000. So that's 17 years ago, or 16 and a half years ago.
And I agree 100% with that. Yeah, and like you said, I don't know if a lot of fans that haven't been with us as long, they got it in their mind that that was Earnhardt's number. It actually was Childress's number, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of people don't really understand that that's a Richard Childress Racing number. It's not necessarily a Dale Earnhardt number.
Yeah, I get frustrated with that, so I'll let you keep going because I don't want to get in any trouble.
Okay. Now, Dylan is 27. He joins Ricky Stenhouse Jr. as a second first-time winner of the season. His victory gives him 5 playoff points. That was his ticket into the Cup Series playoffs, which makes it pretty momentous as well. And it continues that trend of first-time winners in this Cup Series. I think Dale Earnhardt, or was it Kevin Harvick? Kevin Harvick. There was an article last week about Kevin Harvick saying he feels really good about this next generation of drivers coming into the Cup Series. He feels it's in really good hands. And this is just another example of the talent that's coming into this NASCAR Cup Series. He's going to try to take that momentum into Dover. Austin Dillon is. His crew chief, Justin Alexander, took over his crew chief duties for that number three car just the week before the Coca-Cola 600. So it was pretty amazing for Justin Alexander to step into that role and get a win that quickly. It's really a testament to the development system that NASCAR has. Dillon won. He could be the first driver to win a championship in all three series. And it's something to keep your eye on as we continue to work our way through this season, because he won the 2011 Camping World Truck Series championship. He went on to win the 2013 Xfinity Series title. And he's the 28th driver to win a race in all three of NASCAR's National Series. And he's a driver to keep your eye on as far as title championship. It may not be this year. Who knows, it could be this year. But at some point in time, Austin Dillon could win a championship in this Cup Series and could become the first driver to do it in all three series. Some other notable drivers who got their first victory at the Coca-Cola 600, David Pearson, Jeff Gordon, Bobby Labonte, and I think I was at that race, I just lost my screen here, Bobby Labonte and Matt Kenseth. Those guys have all got their first win at Charlotte Motor Speedway in that Coca-Cola 600, so those are some pretty notable names getting their first win in that race.
Correct me if I'm wrong. I believe Casey Mears should also be on that list.
I don't know if that was his first win.
I thought that was his first win as well.
Well, I don't know. I'd have to look it up, and I don't see it on this list. So.
Yeah.
If you can get the stats to back up that statement, then
I'll see if I can do that. But when we're talking about Dover, the Monster Masher, you got to talk about Jimmy Johnson. He's looking to add to Dover track win records. Any driver that wants to go to victory lane there has to go through him. The number 48 Hendrick Motorsports driver has a track record 10 wins in addition to 15 top fives, 21 top tens, and a 9.5 average finish. Johnson also claims a series best driver rating of 118.3 and an average running position of 7.8 at the Monster Mile. If he wins this weekend, he'll join NASCAR Hall of Famers Richard Petty and Darrell Waltrip as the only three Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series drivers to win 11 or more races at a single track. Petty's done it four times, at Martinsville with 15, North Wilkesboro 15, Richmond 13, and Rockingham 11, and Darrell Waltrip's done it twice, 12 at Bristol and 11 at Martinsville. Now, Johnson currently sits eighth in the point standings, 132 markers below leader Martin Truex. He Truex, and Brad Keselowski pace the series with two wins each so far this season.
Yeah, so, Jimmy Johnson is definitely a driver to watch at Dover International Speedway. And you know what? He's making history throughout his career. He could make history again here. So definitely something for fans to keep their eyes on this weekend. Now, you mentioned Martin Truex Jr. He took over the series points lead and with his third-place finish at Charlotte last week. He also did that not only by taking the third place for the race, but by winning the stage two points. Now, that's a really big deal, who's leading the point series for the point standings for the series, because, and I keep reminding people of this, whoever is leading those point standings at the end of the regular season, that driver is going to get 15 extra playoff points as opposed to the second-place driver who's only going to earn 10. So that's a big punch. That's a big boost to the series point leader after the 26 races of the regular season. So Truex is going to be doing everything he can to keep that points lead. He has a 5-point advantage over Kyle Larson. And he also leads the series with 6 stage wins. Ryan Blaney is second in the number of stage wins. He has 3 and 16 playoff points. Brad Keselowski is the next best. He has 12 extra points stage wins in the Cup Series. So those stage wins are a really big deal as well. And Martin Truex Jr. right now has a points lead with the number of stage wins that he has. He's dominating the Monster Cup Series in loop data as well. He leads in average running position at 7.3, driver rating at 113.3, fastest laps run 403, and laps led 769. This is a home track for Truex. He's a native of Marietta, New Jersey, and so he's going to have a lot of family and friends watching this weekend. This could be his second consecutive win at the one-mile track at Dover. He has 22 starts there. He has 2 wins, 2 top fives, 11 top tens, and an average finish of 14.2. On the season, Truex has 2 wins, 4 top fives, and 8 top tens. He could be the first driver that comes home with the third win of the season, and that would be a big boost for Truex in keeping his series point standings lead.
Most certainly, and I know he considers that a home track. I know he's always run real well there. And while you were going over that, found what I was looking for, and it was actually a very similar situation. He was driving the number 20, Casey Mears, sorry, driving the number 25 Hendrick Motorsports National Guard and GMAC sponsored. Mears secured the win on a fuel gamble, taking the lead with five laps remaining when other cars had to stop for fuel, and he stretched his fuel to the finish, running out just moments after the checkered flag. He also had tangled with Jimmy Johnson and Jeff Gordon in that race. That's why I remembered that one, was because he kind of caused an accident among teammates on that one, because they were running 1-2-3 at one point.
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure that that was his first career victory in the Cup Series.
That was his only career win.
Oh, okay. Interesting. That's a miss then.
That's why when I was reading that list, I felt bad that he got left off of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's a rarity because we get this information from NASCAR. It's a rarity for them to have a miss like that. So moving on here, because we're running out of time, Matt Kenseth is last year's Dover Spring Race winner. It was one of the more exciting races last year because on old tires, Kenseth outlasted Kyle Larson, leading the last 47 laps on his way to the checkered flags last spring. So in 36 career starts at Dover, Kenseth has 3 wins, 17 top fives, 24 top tens, and an average finish of 12.8. He's second to Jimmy Johnson at Dover in average running position at 8.4, and his driver rating is at 108.6. Right now, Kenseth is he had a fourth place finish at Charlotte, so that gives him a little bit of momentum coming into this race at Dover. So it'll be fun to see if Kenseth can duplicate his win of last spring into this spring at the track, at the Monster Mile.
And that's one of those where I think a lot of people took notice of Kyle Larson, because that would have been his first win, and he was there and could have put a bumper to Kenseth and chose not to. He said he wanted to win it the right way by just outrunning him. So I think a lot of people took notice of him there.
I agree. Kyle Larson is certainly a very, very talented driver. And I think I remember last year we kept expecting him to get that win, and it was just so elusive. And it's really great to see him having the season that he's having this year.
And now at Dover again, he obviously runs well there. He's going to be looking to take back that points lead. As you mentioned, he's now second behind Martin Truex by 5 points. But he'll look to take that back at one of his better tracks. In 6 career starts at the Monster Mile, 24-year-old Larson owns 2 top fives, 4 top tens, and a 9.3 average finish. And as you mentioned, he led 85 laps, but couldn't quite clear Matt Kenseth at the end of that race and finished runner-up. He headlines a group of 5 drivers under the age of 30 who would make the playoffs if the season ended today. Talking about the youth movement, again, Joey Logano, Ryan Blaney, Ricky Stenhouse, and Austin Dillon as those youngsters that are taking over the sport.
Absolutely. Another driver that we know is extremely talented. He's not had the best season so far yet in the Cup Series, but we know how talented he is. He's going to have a milestone this weekend. Kyle Busch is closing in on 13,000 laps led. That's an incredible stat. All he has to do is lead 59 laps to become the 11th Cup Series driver to lead 13,000 or more laps. It wouldn't be a bad bet to say that Kyle Busch will achieve this feat this weekend at Dover International Speedway. He led 102 laps on his way to a runner-up showing at Dover last fall, and he paced the field for 1,139 go-arounds there in his career. So there's a good chance he's going to be able to lead at least 59 laps. Right now he's winless this season, but he is starting to heat up. He finished second at Charlotte. He was fifth at Kansas and third at Talladega, and he's led at least 48 laps in each of those races. Now, there are several drivers who are winless so far this season, and those drivers are all looking to try to get into victory lane this weekend as well.
That's right. We've had 9 different race winners through these first 12 races, with the win essentially getting the driver a playoff spot, and there's only 8 automatic berths left. The drivers who won multiple races last season who have yet to win yet this year in 2017, and it's some big names. You got Kevin Harvick, as you mentioned, Kyle Busch, Denny Hamlin, and Matt Kenseth. Dale Earnhardt Jr. is also another one. And if the season were to end today, the following drivers would make those playoffs: Martin Truex, Kyle Larson, Brad Keselowski, Kevin Harvick, Kyle Busch, Jamie McMurray, Chase Elliott, Jimmy Johnson, Clint Boyer, Joey Logano, Denny Hamlin, Ryan Blaney, Ricky Stenhouse, Kurt Busch, Ryan Newman, and then Austin Dillon.
Those are the 16 drivers. The name that's missing there, Kevin Harvick's on that list based on points. Kyle Busch is on that list based on points. Denny Hamlin
right.
is on that list based on points. The driver that's missing on that list is Matt Kenseth. He's one of the winless drivers. So he can get himself on that list with a win this weekend. And as you mentioned, he won the spring race there last year. So if he can back that up with another win this season, then he'll get his name on that list as well.
And that's one it certainly makes it interesting, you know, as it comes down to we're halfway through the regular season. So I know there's been a lot of talk about whether or not we can get 16 different winners to fill it up with race winners versus anybody getting in on points.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, I'm really impressed with the first-time winners that we've had this year, and I'm really impressed with the youth movement that's taking place here in the Cup Series. And I agree with Kevin Harvick, who said he really has a lot of confidence in this next generation that's coming up in this series. And it tells us that this series is in really good hands with this next generation of drivers. And as we mentioned in our earlier previews, there's a number of these drivers that are going to be coming up into the Cup Series from the Xfinity Series this weekend. So, again, that youth movement just continues to be building in that NASCAR Cup Series. All right, we've got 3 minutes left here. One of the things that I want to make sure we touch on is there's some speculation because our NASCAR Vice President, Steve O'Donnell, said that additional race segments could be added and there could be changes to the point system for the 2018 season. And some of the ideas that are being kind of discussed right now is to add bonus points for major races, including the Daytona 500, the Coca-Cola 600, the Brickyard 400, and the Southern 500 at Darlington. Those are the crown jewel races that I think are part of the NASCAR circuit. So it would be really great, I think, to see NASCAR kind of play on that for that 2018 season. Another idea is to add an additional fourth or fifth stage to a race like the Coca-Cola 600, the only four-segment race so far this season. So it's kind of interesting to see that they're already looking at potential changes with the points and the stage racing. Again, I see those as enhancements to what already has been a good move by NASCAR for this season.
I do. I see both sides to this. You know, when they announced the stage racing, everybody had to kind of try and understand it as it's progressed through the season. I would say majority of fans are behind it. It definitely adds to it. I know one thing that Jeff Burton has stated on NASCAR America is, though, at what point do you, I can't think of exactly how he worded it, but essentially it was give it a year or two to settle before you make more changes. Now, the counterpart to that
That's true.
If you have something that will make it better, why would you wait?
Well, and that's definitely true. We already know the stage racing has made it better for this season. And I have been a proponent for a very long time that there needs to be an emphasis on these four marquee races on the NASCAR circuit. And I continue to be a proponent of them doing that, and this is a great way for them to really highlight these four races that are on the NASCAR circuit. And I agree that these are the four crown jewels of the NASCAR circuit. So I see that as a real positive. Okay, well, we are down to the end of our show here, Jay, and I want to make sure I give you a chance to talk about any articles that you're working on that readers can look for here on Fan for Racing in the coming days.
Coming up next, I'm going to take a look at if Dodge were to make a comeback, where they would go, how they would come into the sport. And my next one was a possibility in my head is going to have to change now because it was going to be on Austin Dillon needing to win. So got to try to change that one up, obviously.
Okay. Yeah, that was a fun win last week to see him get that victory. And I can't imagine people being not happy about that. But there's always going to be some complaints in this sport and any sport out there. So, you know, I think it's something to be celebrated for sure. So let's talk about how fans can follow you, Jay. And
they can follow me on Facebook with my name of Michael Hoosman or on Instagram and Twitter at MoparMJ8 under both of those.
Okay. And, of course, I am Fan for Racing at Fan for Racing site and Twitter, and then we are also Fan for Racing blog and radio on Facebook, and you can find us under that Fan for Racing name also on Google Plus. We're on Flipboard. Yeah, we're all over social media, so check us out. You also see our articles on StumbleUpon. Just type in Fan for Racing and you'll find us. We are looking forward to getting back to our Monday night show. We had some unforeseen circumstances on Tuesday, so we were not able to do our review show on Tuesday night. But we will be back on the airwaves this coming Monday to review all of the races that Jay and I just talked about. That's Monday, June the 5th, starting at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. We will be here to review those races. And we really try to get some race winners. We'll probably try to get a race winner from the ARCA Racing Series as well as that Can-Am Pro Series East race on our show for Monday night. So definitely stay tuned for that. And then next Thursday night, Jay and I will be back here for our NASCAR Weekend Preview at 8:30 p.m. on Thursday, June the 8th. And we'll be previewing several different races. We have the ARCA Racing at Pocono, the Xfinity Series, and the Cup Series, all racing at Pocono. But there's also the Camping World Truck Series that will be racing at Texas, and the Can-Am West Series is headed to Colorado National. We've talked a lot about that. We had Chris Eggleston, who won at Orange Show Speedway, which he did last year, and he followed up that win with a win at Colorado National. So it'll be interesting to see if he's able to do that again on the 10th. So Jay and I will be talking about all of that racing on Thursday night, June the 8th, And we hope you'll join us both Monday night and Thursday night for our review and preview here on Fan for Racing Radio. Michael, fun as always. I really appreciate you and the support that you give here for our weekend preview every Thursday night. Thank you so much.
My pleasure, and I'll look forward to hearing you and Sal back on Monday night.
Okay, we're looking forward to it. And safe travels to you as you head out to Memphis this weekend. You're going to be in for a treat as you watch those Can-Am Pro Series guys race out there. I wish I could be there with you. I really do. But I'm looking forward to hearing your thoughts about that race when we talk on Thursday.
All right, I'll bring it.
Okay. Good night, everybody. Safe travels and enjoy your race weekend. We'll talk to you on the other side. Good night.